Let's bring on our first guest today. We met Matt Frazier this past weekend in Baltimore, Maryland. We didn't really get a chance to really sit down and have a sit down with him, Lee, right? We didn't get a chance to really bond with him. But he has a website called nonmeatathlete.com. And he is a vegetarian ultra distance runner, which that's a pretty, you know, when you're talking about ultra distances, that's a cool combination. He first started running back in 02, first marathon. And then 7 years later, he's running even faster and then said, you know what? 26 is not going to do it for me. I need to go do these ultra marathons. And the ultra marathons are distances of like 50 and 100 miles, even further as well. And he also has a great book that's coming out, Marathon Roadmap, The Vegetarian Guide to Completing Your First 26.2. And I think he's also got a half marathon one coming out as well. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thanks a lot for having me.
It is a pleasure. And let me ask you, Matt, did you get a chance to do any ultra-distance running in Baltimore when you were there?
No, I actually didn't. Didn't happen to get out for a quick 50-mile or anything during the conference.
Did you do the 5K?
I actually didn't even do that. I was busy preparing my talk for the next day of the conference, so...
Yeah, doesn't that stink when you have to speak at these conferences?
It kind of does.
It kind of makes it, you know, you get into your own little cocoon, and you really, you know, all you're doing is thinking about your speech, and then you really can't connect as much as you'd like. That's how I felt until after the fact, and then you feel like, oh, I'm here now. Come play with me.
Right.
Come talk to me. So
exactly.
Now, how did you get started first in running?
I actually, in college, I was really big into weightlifting and stuff like that with some friends, and we were kind of like, we weren't big enough to be considered meatheads, but we wanted to be meatheads.
You were wannabes. Now, did you delve into the dark side, Matt? Did you go into the dark side of the meatheadery, like, you know, with the steroids and everything?
No, we didn't. No, we shied away from that. I guess we kind of did it on the...
Is it because you couldn't find any steroids? Is that why?
Well, I guess it would have been pretty hard if we did. But there were some guys in our gym who I had my suspicions about, so I'm sure we could have talked to them.
Yeah. Now, when...
But anyway...
Do you need a name? Or is that what you're asking us? You're trying to find them.
But anyway, we decided we wanted to lose some fat because we had put on this weight and muscle. And we said, okay, well, let's run a marathon. That's a good way to lose fat because you'd have to be skinny to run a marathon.
Right.
So we did that, and it was a horrible idea because all three of us got hurt in the training for it. We weren't runners at all, but it did kind of make me realize that running marathons is a pretty cool thing for its own sake, not even for like fitness or fat loss, just as far as setting goals and doing stuff like that. So I think that's what kind of really got me hooked on it.
So you ran your first marathon, and so the experience wasn't as painful. You were like, you know what, I'm not never going to do this again. You were like, you know what, I'm going to keep doing this, and I think I'm going to have a better experience when I do this.
Yeah, well, I mean, for that day and maybe that week, I said I'm never doing this again. But then, as it kind of happens, you start to forget how much it hurt, and then you want to come back and
you want to do it again.
Do better.
Yeah. I gotcha. Now, when did the vegetarian aspect kick into your life? Now, because typically, whenever I hear a guy becoming a vegetarian, it's typically over a hot chick.
Yeah,
there's always a hot chick attached to this. There's never a guy just
guy's
going,
never
you know,
on his own going,
right?
Hey,
it's never
eat meat again.
Right, there has to be something that's an incentive, and usually beautiful women will do that to you.
No, I actually convinced my wife to do it, which is kind of funny, I guess.
Whoa.
But yeah, I know. Well, we got a dog, and that was her idea, and then that kind of just struck me as like I didn't really want to be eating animals. I don't know. I just kind of felt strange about it. And
so
then,
somehow you connected with, once you had a dog, you were like, you know what?
I can't eat a cow.
I can't.
I have a dog.
Right, because a cow has a tongue and it's kind of cute too. So I'm sure you can probably bond to a cow or something like that. So you were like, you know what?
Well,
I'm off meat.
What about like a, what's an ugly animal? Like an aardvark. Can you eat that?
Cause that's armadillo.
Armadillo.
Yeah, like an armadillo.
They're ugly.
There was a
no, you can't eat the ugly ones either. They're also off limits, unfortunately.
So now, did you go full on vegetarian, like, you know, like the vegetarian world, they get a little kooky, and I'll tell you how. You know, like, it's like with Judaism. Like, if you say to tell someone, like, you're keeping kosher, you know,
right.
Keeping kosher, it's like for the Orthodox Jews, if you're walking into a restaurant, you're not kosher. So it's like, you know, if you're like, what type of vegetarian are you? Are you everything goes. No eggs, no fish, no cheese.
I recently did go all the way vegan, which is where you don't eat anything that comes from animal products. I mean, anything from animals at all. You don't even eat honey.
Honey? You're going really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know that I feel any connection to bees, but I kind of just wanted to try the full thing and be like, I'm not going to cut any quarters or anything.
What about like bacteria? Because they're living things too. You know,
there's a lot of
cells that are in living things. So how come those are okay?
You know, I don't know who decided what the classifications are, but I think it comes down to that sort of biology stuff. Where there's the animal kingdom and all these, and then there's like the lower things, and those lower things you can eat, but you can't eat animals.
I don't like to judge higher or lower.
That's right.
I don't know who decided those things.
So now that poses, Matt, quite a challenge to your training in terms of what you eat, or do you have it? This has become pretty easy for you to manage, and it's really not a challenge for you at all.
It's not a challenge now. It is a challenge in the fact that, I mean, you do have to actually plan what you eat. So, because if you didn't plan and you just got hungry and you can't eat anything. You can't order pizza if you're vegan. If you're vegetarian, you could, but you don't want to be eating pizza all the time. Obviously, if you're marathon training,
why not?
So it just kind of imposes this requirement that you have to plan. But the interesting thing is that once you do start to do that, then you start actually, or at least in my case, started actually eating much, much better, because now I actually was planning instead of just eating whatever was around or whatever was convenient.
Right.
So I found that it helps me, but it's just kind of initially, yes, definitely a challenge.
Now, I will tell you, Matt, there's a lot of people out there that run marathons and that are avid runners and they're running enthusiasts. But when you go into the ultra marathon category, that puts you into a whole nother playing field. That ultra marathon world, that's not a crowded bunch of people. There's not a whole bunch of people that are signing up for 50 and 100 mile ultra marathon races. Tell me about how you transition from this world of like, you know what, I'm going to be a, you know, almost a 5 hour marathoner to now a sub, pretty close to a sub 3 hour marathoner to now I'm going to run ultra marathons. That's quite a feat to do that in less than, 10 years is pretty amazing.
Yeah, right. Well, thank you. I think the biggest thing, very first thing was just to stop getting injured, because so many people who run marathons and halves, they just kind of struggle through the training and like they're always in pain and they don't really know what to do about it. So they just kind of keep running or maybe take some time off, and then keep doing the same things and get hurt again. And it's just like a constant struggle. So, I mean, the first step is really getting past that and learning how to train right, and learning even like down to like your form when you're running, so that you're not putting this tremendous stress on your body every time you go for a run. So, I mean, that was a huge first step.
What were the key elements to that you're talking about, trying not to get injured and trying to change your form? What were some of the key elements for you that made the biggest difference for you that you were able to stay injury-free and to... Mm-hmm. What if you had some advice to give to some of our listeners, what would that consist for you?
The first thing I would say is when you go out for a run, think about what the purpose of this run is going to be. Don't just go out there and run at like this kind of moderate intensity that's right in the middle where it's not really too hard and it's not too easy. You'll get far better results if you make half of your runs dedicated like a speed workout or a hill workout where you're really working hard for 20 or 30 minutes. And then make the other half of your runs in between those workouts, make those really, really easy runs, like 2 minutes slower than you probably could run a mile. Make that your mile pace. And, it should be so easy that you're worried about how stupid you look running this slow.
Wow.
So give your body those ups and downs. And, like, so you stress it, and then you give it a chance to recover, rather than doing this all what people call this junk mileage where it's the same thing all the time.
The same speed, the same thing every day in, day out.
Right.
I see.
So there's planning there.
The other thing I would say.
You're planning your food. Now you're planning your running. You're very, you like to plan.
Organized. You're very organized.
Yeah, I guess so. My wife doesn't think that I'm very organized at all.
Uh-oh. So she must be OCD then. She must be OCD on the organized stuff.
Well, you said it. I didn't say it.
Don't tell me that in the cabinets there's little labels and everything has a certain place and you can't move it out of the way. Is that anything?
No. We don't go that far.
I gotcha. So now, going from running, you know, and doing going to the ultra marathons. I'm interested to hearing about your experience with the ultra marathons. We've had a couple of famous ultra distance guys, Chris Berglund and Dean Karnazes, who have done that stuff where they run in excess of 200 miles at a time. Tell me about your first experience with getting up into that mileage area. And what did that feel like, and the recovery that went into doing that type of distance?
Yeah, so it actually isn't all that different from running a marathon. There's the difference that a lot of these races are on trails, so you do have to learn how to do that.
That's kind of fun, though. The trails are actually kind of nice.
It is fun. It definitely takes some of the monotony out of it.
Right.
And it also, I mean, when you run 20 or 30 miles on a road, your legs are really feeling it by the end of that. Not because your muscles are sore, but just, I mean, your feet are just killing you from pounding on that road.
Right.
So, you know, simply getting out there on trails will change that. And it also makes you, you're doing, like, every step is different on trails. You know, one might be stepping on a route and pushing off to get up a little hill. It's much less of this monotonous pounding. So,
sure.
I mean, right away, that eliminates some stress. It's harder work in some sense. You have to be stronger for it, but it does eliminate some of that stress in your body.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of start gradually increasing. So for a marathon, while you maybe went up to 20 miles, you'll go up instead to around almost 30 miles or so for a 50-miler. But you don't really need to run that much more than 30 miles to run a 50-miler. You just kind of do that much and then trust that you can do it.
Right, so you get into that mental world of like, man, because I see the, like hitting like 35 or 36 mile mark and going, you're kidding me. I've got another 14 left or whatever the math is to do that. You know, it's crazy.
That absolutely is. That's kind of like the no man's land in that between miles 30 and 40. Once you're at 40, you're like, you know, 10
so
miles left.
It's better. It's better if you don't do many math. Right, if you can't count very well.
Right. You want to stay away from numbers, and you want to stay away from knowing where you are as much as possible, probably. Now,
that's true.
What about any experiences with animals that can attack you when you're in the trails and stuff like that? Have you had any experiences like, you know what, I think I hear a bear?
I haven't had anything like that, luckily.
Now, do you carry any weapons? Do you carry any weapons with you just in case? Anything that you have to protect yourself?
No, I guess I don't. But again, I think I've heard of people like carrying mace and that kind of stuff in case bears attack. I guess where I run, it's not much of an issue.
Or do you just run with slower people? So
yeah, that's
really
all you need to do is run with slower people.
That's the other trick, right?
So now you came up with the marathon, the roadmap, the book, and also the half marathon as well. For the vegetarians, tell us a little about the book and what's in there for people to learn.
Okay, so they're both, earlier this year I released this marathon roadmap off my site, which is called nomeatathlete.com. And the first one, the marathon roadmap, was basically, the subtitle was a vegetarian guide to conquering your first 26.2. So it's basically for anybody who's never run a marathon before, or even somebody who maybe has done it before, but for whatever reason now wants to be a vegetarian or vegan, and is wondering, you know, can I still do this? Because that's what I was wondering when I went vegetarian. I wasn't sure if it would prevent me from training like I had.
Right.
So it's a guide to doing that in either one of those, the first time in either sense. And then the half marathon roadmap is kind of a similar book that I'll be releasing actually next week.
Oh, it's coming out next week. Oh, that's great.
The half marathon version, yep.
And what about the one for the ultra distance? I want that one. That's the one I'm looking for. How do you do this for 50?
I've heard some people ask about that. You know, that's something I might work on. They're just starting to become, you know, to get some books out there that are about ultra marathon running. Until recently, there hasn't really been much. But the guy from irunfar.com, I think, I forget his name, but he just released a book about how to do your first ultra marathon.
I see.
Now, what's your go-to, like, protein and carb?
Yeah. Don't tell me pastrami. So, don't say pastrami, because we're on to you.
Yeah, I know. Well, there's all kinds of soy pastrami if you want that. You can get soy anything
now. Oh, now, can you do that? Can you go, is that part of the...
Soy is an animal?
No, it's not.
Yeah, soy, I mean, soy is a plant, and they can make it into any shape you want, and it pretty much make it taste like anything you want. It's never quite the same. And it's also, I mean, it's not a source that I would recommend relying on, because some people say there are... It kind of has some bad effects also. And you just don't want any one source of your a food to dominate your diet. So
right.
For proteins, I mean, I'm usually eating just never like a huge protein meal, but like I'll make sure I have beans or nuts, sometimes soy. Hemp protein is a good one. Hemp seeds can be ground into a powder, so that's the protein powder that I'll put in smoothies and whatever else.
Now, Matt, do you ever like go, oh man, I need to get
a burger,
or you ever crave like ice cream or something like, you know, like you're like, you know, when you were a kid that you had and it was your favorite. I mean, you ever get those to those places where you're like, man, I have got to hit McDonald's.
You know what? At first there was some of that. Like I used to love like pork barbecue. I went to like with a friend from college, we drove 7 hours in the night to go get the barbecue sandwich.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Passionate. Like right. You had passion. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So, you know, I did miss that because you can eat barbecue made out of whatever else, soy or wheat, but it's not the same, of course. But I just kind of got to the point where it was like, you do kind of get over those cravings. You kind of just forget what it does taste like. And then, you know, I can still dump vinegar and barbecue sauce on French fries or whatever I want. I mean, any kind of junk food if I really am in that kind of mood.
So you have your, you have ways
later once you're full.
Right. So you have ways of getting around, like you have ways of kind of getting the same taste, but you apply it to other food.
Yeah, and then once the meal's over and I'm full, I'm just much happier that I didn't, you know, obviously didn't just stay with what, kind of what I believe in and all that.
I gotcha. So there's no more 7 hour midnight rides to, you know,
to the pork palace.
To the pork palace. You're not doing that anymore.
No, maybe I would be like the wingman.
What about?
Kind of
trip, so your buddy still calls you up and goes, "Hey, listen, dude, we got to hit the pork palace. I know you can't eat it, but you got to come with me." And you're like, "All right, I'll go."
You drive because I'll be in a meat coma shortly, and I needed somebody to drive me.
So what's the future, Matt? What do you feel? How
far can you run? What are we going for, 100, 200,
oh, definitely.
500?
If he's done 50, he's definitely in his head. I can tell you right now, he's shooting at a – he's going for Western states, right? You're going for the Western states?
Western states would be amazing. That's 100 miles that I'm definitely not able to run yet. I'll do an easier 100-miler before that. I mean, there are 100 miles that are hard, and there are 100 miles that are, believe it or not, are considered easy.
What, Matt, about the Badwater? Are any aspirations doing the Badwater?
I don't know. That would be cool, but
that's a whole other level, right?
Yeah, like they run on the white lines.
White lines, right?
Yeah.
You have to run on the Death Valley.
Or melt your shoes.
Melt your shoes. You know, stay on this line, or you got problems with your shoes. That's.
And the rattlesnakes at night that go across the road.
That takes it to a whole other level.
Yeah, once it becomes like a survival game risk, I don't know about that. That doesn't really sound like my kind of running. I'll be like.
Why don't you like go to Mount Everest and just go straight downhill? How about that?
Right.
That can't be that hard.
Right.
When there's a potential for death, that's where you kind of draw the line. You say, you know what?
Right, exactly.
I like to run, but
not that much.
Not that much. So,
right.
So I can see that. So more ultra distance running for you as well. And tell us about the process of writing the book. Was that are there a lot of anecdotes in the book about here? This is what you don't want to do. This is what I did. Don't do this.
There are a lot of that because I truly did. You know, I took about 100 minutes off of my marathon time from my very first one to the time I actually qualified for Boston. So I pretty much was doing everything wrong at the beginning and then always getting hurt, and really did learn through the process of 6 or 7 marathons of just how to do it, how to train. Some of which is probably just works for me, and some of which are more universal things that will apply to everybody. So, you know, kind of having been in both places, I think I do have a lot to share about.
Now, is your wife involved with running with you as well, or is she? That's your deal, buddy. You do that by yourself.
She's done 3 marathons, and I don't know if she'll ever get into any ultras, but she's always really supportive. She just loves being there at the race for me, which is amazing.
No, that's just what she says. She really, that's not true, but we'll go with that.
No, she really, before the Vermont 50 miler, she actually was not going to come because we have our son, and she was just going to stay home with him and play it low-key. And then the actual morning that I left to go up there, she decided that she also had to come. So she actually drove separately behind me and my friends who I carpooled with and came up there.
Wow.
Now, what about the dogs?
Yeah, that was cool.
Did the dogs run with you as well?
Not for 50 miles.
The dogs are good. They're good for about 6 miles or so sometimes.
And how do you know? And how do you know? What do they do?
Pass out. He has to drag them.
How do you know the dogs are only good for six? Do they say something to you?
They just lie down.
They're down.
Oh, they just lie down.
They're like
me. They pretty much just collapse. Yeah.
That's how I am. Oh, yeah. After like 1K, I'm like taking a nap. I'm pulling over.
Yeah, right. That's
curl up in a ball under the shade.
So they just collapse to the side and they're like, you know what? We're done with this. We're not doing this anymore.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they're not very good at running. Animals aren't. I think there are dogs who run like 20 miles or something, but in general, animals aren't as good as humans are at running longer distances.
Yeah.
They like the barefoot running, the dogs.
Yeah, they're at the Vibram four fingers, right? They like those. Well, not for the dogs.
Dogs have four fingers.
Matt, also, you are just about finishing up with your PhD in applied math. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah.
Now, so you're going to be a doctor pretty soon.
That's what doctors get applied.
Well, yeah, I will be.
Yeah,
that kind of
be
doctor.
Dr. Frazier. It'll be like the show, uh-huh. Dr. Frazier. Mm-hmm. Now,
exactly.
How has math or your fondness for math, has it helped you? In
obviously
in running and
he plans
and
compartmentalizes everything.
Has that helped you a lot?
You know, actually, when I run, I think it's sort of an escape from all that, because when I run, a lot of times I don't bring a watch, and I don't always like to bring an iPod or heart rate monitor. You know, I don't like to get all wired up to run.
Right. You don't like everything all that data and stuff. So interesting.
What are you thinking about? Like, you get out there and a mile goes by. So what's going through your head?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I like you guys mentioned earlier, I really do try to avoid any sort of like numbers in my head, because that will drive you crazy when you're running even a marathon. You know, you can just get in your own head and go.
It drives me crazy if I run a quarter mile. I start counting the 2 seconds when the thing's going to be over.
Right. So I think what I do is when I'm really getting tired, I start to just look at the time to the next aid station. And in an ultra marathon, they're often spaced 5 or 6 miles apart. So you just sort of break it down to that, and then you really convince yourself that you're done when you get to that point. And then once you get there, you kind of realize you lied to yourself and you have to do that again now. You kind of just convince it, you know, you trick yourself into thinking that's what you have to do.
So you got
to
lie to yourself. That's in your book, Lie to Yourself? Is that in there? Yeah.
Well, Matt, we really appreciate you coming on today. It is the website is called nomeatathlete.com. The book is Marathon Roadmap.
And he likes to meet people.
The Vegetarian Guide, the Vegetarian Guide to Completing Your First 26.2, and also soon to be out will be the Half Marathon as well. I'm sorry, Lee. What were you saying as I was trying to read the tell
him about
the book?
He likes to meet people. It's not that kind of meat.
That's right.
So people don't want to get confused.
Matt, listen, when the next book comes out, please give us a call. We'd love to get you back on the show, and please stay in touch with us.
Just run over here one day.
Yeah, run from Maryland to Atlanta.
Okay, yeah, right.
How far is it?
There's some great trails here, Matt. Great stuff here. So we'd love to get you on the show. Listen,
thanks a lot, guys.
It was a pleasure having you on, and please stay in touch. We'd love to have you back on.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
That is Matt Frazier. He is with No Meat Athlete. That is his website. The vegetarian long-distance, ultra-distance marathon runner. Cool guy and good stuff. You can check him out at nomeatathlete.com. Also, check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Check out our new book. Not so new, but pretty new. It is called 35 Things to Know to Raise Active Kids. And you can get that on our website. You can also go to our Facebook page. Become one of our friends. We're always giving away stuff on our Facebook page. You can comment there as well. And follow us at Twitter at DrFitness6 and at FatGuy as well. Lee, I don't know if you know this. Yeah, I know we have our next guest on, but I want to talk to you a bit. Did you hear what's going on with my local hero, Lance Armstrong?
We're still pretending that he's not...
Well, it looks like the pretending's over. It looks like the cat's out of the bag. Well, that's what it seems as though right now.
First the rapture, then this.
And it wasn't that 60 Minutes thing with Tyler Hamilton, because you can't really trust what he's saying, or Floyd Landis, those guys.
Don't trust the half dozen athletes that have come forward.
Well, the one that you can... I'll tell you, the one that really was damaging was the fact of George Hincampy, who was one of his best friends. And so that looks like there's testimony to show that... He has proof that there is. So I'm bummed out. You know, I thought was the greatest sports story ever. So I really don't know. I don't want to until I have further evidence. But I'm going.
What do you need? What else?
I need to see the syringe.
with fingerprints.
But I'm really bummed out because I really thought that this story with Lance Armstrong recovering from cancer and becoming, you know, the spokesperson for cancer and recovery, I thought this was the greatest sports story of our generation.
It was just not a fact story. It was fiction story.
It was a fiction story. It really wasn't a true story.
If it was started with Once Upon a Time, it would have been great.
But I'm really bummed out about this, and I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I used to be such a Lance. I got to find another. Well, I always got Springsteen.
What about A-Rod?
Springsteen will always stay there.
Oh, yeah.
I'll always. No, A-Rod. Forget about sports guys.